he might end up having a pea shooter for that one. Let's go out on a limb, Tony, and say that Ohio State beats Santa Barbara on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's really going out on a limb.
Bong, bong, bong. Good morning.
He persevered and went against his little hex that he had on the team, but
I have to play this thing with my mind, not my heart. My mind said the Celtics will win Game 6 tonight. The Lakers dominate, and they win 89-67.
I love you, Dave. I really do, but you suck at bets.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good morning, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Monday show. It's time to do some catch-up today as we begin another podcast for July. I've been on vacation the last week when we last spoke. I was on with Dan Heck from Naples, Florida, and we went over all the possible permutations in baseball for the second half. And today I meet you in an ill-advised podcast in the late hour on a Sunday, getting us prepared for this week and catching up on what happened last week. Okay, so here's a story about what's going on. And this is, and we're here on Locks of the Week Radio at daveinthecity.podbean.com. And basically, what happened is that I took a vacation both from the office job and from here. And in the time that I was away, I just got to get away from things for a while. I didn't do any podcasts during the vacation except for the one with Mr. Heck. And I think I was able to do a lot of things. For example, I was able to catch up on stuff, clean things. I finally got rid of all the recyclables in the kitchen. It was very refreshing. I finished my laundry for once. I got a chance to go near and far. I made like 2 visits to Amoeba Music in Hollywood. Got to see a movie at the Arclight. Got to see a movie at the El Capitan. Toy Story 3, good movie. Got to catch up on Toy Story 2. I've seen a lot of movies during this break. And it all seemed to culminate on Thursday when I took a tour of the Warner Brothers studios in Burbank, and it was a VIP tour, and it was great. It was terrific. I really enjoyed it. Now I know it costs some money to get in there. It's obviously a significant cost. It's fairly expensive to go on this tour, but it is amazingly worth it. It is amazing. The things they'll show you on this tour, the places you'll go, the kind of access you'll get to some of the facilities at Warner Brothers, it's terrific. I really recommend you go to this if you can. After that, I went the extra 15 miles and went to Pasadena for one reason, and that one reason was the Pie and Burger. And it's just a basic diner that serves hamburgers and pies. And that in and of itself isn't very exciting, but I've been told so many times by various, shall we say, food connoisseurs or foodies, if you will, that this place has terrific hamburgers and pies. And I thought, well, you know, the hamburgers, I can't imagine would be that great, but I imagine the pies would be phenomenal. Well, the pie was good. I don't know if it was phenomenal, but it was very good. It was great. But the hamburger was a major surprise. I was so surprised at how good that hamburger was. It was basically just a basic cheeseburger, but they used a special sauce like they do at McDonald's with a Big Mac, and they do it in the same one that they use at In-N-Out. And it was good. And what really surprised me was the freshness of that patty and the way that they toasted the bun. It was amazing. It was so good. I really enjoyed the Pie and Burger. The burger was much better than I thought it would be, and I highly recommend it. Their service is great, too. Cash only. So if ever you're in Pasadena, give it a try, please. It's over in California Street, right off of the drag, right off of Lake, basically. Lake in California, And parking isn't that hard during the midday most days. Go check it out if you're ever there. So that was Thursday. Friday, I just caught up with more movies. And speaking of movies, I saw the movie Inception. And it's a bunch of layers of confusion. You know, it's like you have a movie, and then you have a movie in a movie, and then you have another movie in another movie. And it just goes on like that forever. You have so many layers, you have no idea where you are. Now, I try not to spoil anything further, but it's a very complex movie. But it's a good movie. So if you can see it, go see it. Inception is very interesting. And it's not your typical action movie, not your typical drama or science fiction movie. It's very, very cerebral. And I think you would enjoy it. So Inception recommended, although, again, you may just end up going out of there just in just spinning. Your head could be spinning from what you've seen. It could be very confusing. It might even be worth watching again. So that was Friday. Saturday, just trying to stay cool. It's been really hot here in Los Angeles. So Saturday was just spent trying to find ways to cool down. The mall's actually a really good idea. If you're looking for a place to stay cool, it was a good idea to do that. And then, what else? Caught up in baseball, obviously, and those things. So that was my vacation. I didn't really go anywhere spectacular. I didn't make any big journeys, but being able to rest, being able to catch up on things, being able to do the things I've never had a chance to do before, great idea. Now, people would be telling me, go to Universal. Universal's got this and that. I've been to most of that already. I mean, the Universal tour is the same tour they had 20 years ago. They made a couple of changes, and I heard about one today about the new King Kong exhibit, which basically replaces the old King Kong exhibit on the Universal tour. It's nice. I'm sure it's good, but they've still got a lot of work to do to freshen that thing up. It's so stale. A lot of the stuff I've seen like when I was five. So you get an idea of how old most of these attractions are on the Universal Studios tour. Anyway, yeah. So that was the vacation was good to me, and I got to catch up in sports. I got to watch games like when they started out in the East Coast. Those East Coast games are tricky because when you live out here, 3 hours behind everybody else, it's frustrating because if you wanted to check in on a Yankee game or a Red Sox game, Orioles, Rays, Reds, Tigers, any of those teams, and, you know, other teams, Mets, Phillies, Braves, any of those teams, you get home and it's practically over. It's two-thirds over by the time you get home. It's very, very confusing, very frustrating. So getting to watch some of those games in full was huge. I loved it. And finally, in the midst of all that, we had a lot of big events over the last week. So I'll go over these very quickly. And I know there's all sorts of stuff with LeBron. I know about Michael Jordan. But look, I'm not going to feed the monster. Michael Jordan said what he said. He said that, hey, listen, I didn't go over to Magic and Larry and ask them to play. This guy is absolutely right. And LeBron doing so really knocks him down several pegs. But, you know, it's not like it's anything earth-shattering that he's revealed here. So I leave it at that. Anyway, here's what happened over the last week while I was gone. It started with the World Cup. The final, which was very, very, very terrible. You know what? We did go over that on the podcast with RD. Okay, so then that I'll probably put aside. That was, you know, just not the greatest of games to showcase your sport, soccer. Spain won in the extra time. Congratulations to Spain. So enough of that. But the All-Star game, which happened on the Tuesday of that week, great game. It was, well, to me, a great game. I mean, look, people always expect a lot of scoring. Oh, they didn't score enough. Hey, it was a good game. The pitching on that in both teams was very good, especially and the NL was obviously a cut above. The pitching just didn't stop. Whether it was Halliday, who didn't even start the game, he pitched in the middle of the game. You had Ubaldo Jimenez, Josh Johnson, and on and on and on. All these great pitchers from the National League. They didn't even use Tim Lincecum. That tells you how deep these starters were for the NL in that game. And it's very, very funny that you would see this, and then you would see the NL prevail in the game as they pulled it out in the 7th, 8th inning, and a big play by Marlon Byrd saved the game in the 9th inning when he threw out David Ortiz trying to go to second base on a single. No, it was on, yeah, it was. He was trying to go to second base on a ball that was caught in a semi-shallow, semi-deep outfield, semi-deep right field by Marlon Byrd. He takes the ball, throws right to second, as I guess, no, it wasn't caught, but the ball dropped, and then he took it and tried to throw to second base as Ortiz did his own weird attempt at trying to play halfway. He did it as well as he could, but the guy is just so slow. Goes into second base, and he is out. And that basically rescues the game, which was at the time pitched by Jonathan Broxton, trying to get the save, and he does, but not by his own effort. The guy sucks. The guy sucks. The guy absolutely sucks. I'll get to that in a minute. So that's over. The NL wins huge because it's the first time in a long time the National League has won the All-Star game. The last time it happened was 1996. And last time that the National League had home field in a World Series, 2001, the Diamondbacks had that home field. And guess what happened? They won the World Series that year in 7 games. So it's big news for the NL. And it just goes to show you, in my opinion, that the National League has been the better team in these games the last 2 to 3 years. Now, they didn't get through, but they had unlucky bounces. They had the unlucky luck. They gave up this run at the end. It would be great plays by Ichiro. All sorts of things would be stopping the National League from getting that victory. But they get closer and closer every year, and this year they finally broke through. And it just goes to show you the passing of the torch. I honestly believe the National League is a superior league this year. I really think that there are some better teams, better pitching overall. And these days, you take away the steroids, you take away the power. Pitching wins games. Pitching wins games, and the better pitching right now is obviously in the National League. Starters, relievers, closers. I mean, you take a look at the whole, not the parts. You take a look at the parts, then you could say, well, CeCe Sabathia is pretty good. And obviously, Mariano Rivera is the best closer there is right now. And yada, yada, yada. But if you take the whole thing together, the National League is winning. The National League is winning everything. And I just think that, you know, we could have said in years past that the American League is a better league. Oh, they're more deep. They're more this, they're more that. It's not true this year. It's just not true. You got to open your eyes. Open your eyes. The better pitching's in the National League. You know, some of the more complete lineups are in the National League. The National League plays better baseball than the American League. They just know how to play. I mean, you can't just out hit everybody. You just can't hit slug home runs all the time. And so when you have to actually implement strategy and timely hitting and adjustments, NL wins. So now we're at a point where that's pretty much necessary because it's a pitcher's year this year. And there are fewer runs allowed across the board. And you just don't see the kind of home runs you used to. So I mean, you see a lot of games go 0-0 well into the game. Some of them go an extra inning 0-0. You've seen nearly 3 perfect games this season. A couple of no-hitters on top of that. And you've seen several blown opportunities at a no-hitter. So it's incredible. And then you've seen Cliff Lee go through complete games. Carl Pavano has 3 complete games. It's incredible. Actually, make that 4 now with the weekend. So, it's the pitcher's year. It is a pitcher's year in baseball. And so, when it's a pitcher's year, you need to... It's the little things that are more important. And the NL has long been better at the little things. Long, long been better at the little things. And they continue to be. And this year, it's really paying off. Got a lot of good teams there in the National League. And among them, you got a lot of contenders, including the Colorado Rockies, who had a major setback against the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend. The Reds took 2 out of 3. The Rockies actually avoided the sweep with a win 1-0 today on Sunday. And what that was a bigger series win for the Reds than it was a series loss for the Rockies. And there's no doubt about it when you look at it in context. The Reds were demoralized when they lost four games in a row to the Phillies the week before. But to have them come back and beat basically a division contender in the Colorado Rockies, big, big time news. So that was great. And what it could do, although I don't think it will, but what it could do is it could give the Reds a little bit of confidence back so that they can regain themselves and get right back in the thick of things. Now, they're not exactly out of the race. If anything, they've just barely lost the lead, and it took a sweep by the Cardinals of the Dodgers to do so. Now that brings us out to our good boy, Jonathan Broxton, who is clearly not suited for the closer position. You know, we've put up with this guy for 3 years, and he's not really proven himself to be anything more than a hack pitcher who loves to throw his fastball, has other pitches, but does not have the mental capacity to close out games in reality. I mean, he can do it at home against lesser teams with a crowd behind him, and the game doesn't mean a whole lot, and maybe he has like a 3 or 4 run lead. But we have seen way too many times him blowing leads, big leads. He blew a 5-run lead against the Padres years ago. Years ago this happened. And I said, this guy's not a closer. And then all the Dodger Thoughts people, and I go to Dodger Thoughts, it's a great site. But Dodger Thoughts people are like, well, yeah, well, it's happened. Stuff happens. Okay, fine. Then in the NLCS, blows a game again against the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, they come back to me. They say, well, you know, it's just the game. It's tough luck. It's tough this. It's tough that. And I'm like, but he keeps doing this. It keeps happening. And then they're like, look at his stats. Look, he's only got like a 1 ERA. He's got all these strikeouts. And I'm like, yeah, but the stats don't translate because the guy is just, I mean, you look the way he's putting people away. It's just outrageous. You know, he can pile up. He can really pile on when he's in good shape. But when he faces adversity, he really struggles. Really struggles. So then in 2009, the same thing happened. And you remember, that was at Philly. And if you also remember, I think it was like a 2-run lead. And remember when the guy who got the go-ahead home run, or maybe the pile-on home run, Matt Stairs, in 2008, against Broxton, sees him again in the 2009 series. And you'd think, well, Broxton, oh my goodness, here's a chance to revenge himself. Here's a chance for me to really pay him back for that, for what he did at Dodger Stadium the year before. And instead, Broxton walks the guy on 4 pitches. And that should have been a red flag to all followers of the game about what a hack this guy is, or what a wimp this guy is, what have you. And you knew from there on it was just not going to end well. And it didn't. It did not. Then you look at this year, and a 5-run lead. 5 runs. For the Dodgers against the New York Yankees, a chance to really establish themselves as a team that means business, the Dodgers. Now, I know the Yankee fans don't care, because the Yankees are already ahead by so many games anyway at that point. It's not as if it was going to mean much if they lost the series. But for the Dodgers, this is a really good proving ground to say that they belong. And Broxton comes in, and he's not just like 1 or 2 runs, it's like 5 runs! And he blows that too! And this is following other blown saves that he's already had this season. So it's not like it's the first time it happened. It's been happening all year for this guy. And it's just, they didn't lose the game outright, but he gave up the tie to a guy who we'd never heard of before. Getting the go-ahead or the tying run across, basically the go-ahead, the tying RBI. The guy we never heard of. And people would still defend the guy. They would just say, well, you know, how often is that going to happen? The Yankees have a great lineup. It's like, I'm just sick of the excuses. And I said it at the time. I said, this guy is not, he's not cut out for a closer. So time rolls on. The Dodgers did, in fact, sweep the Giants right after the fact. So that kind of diffused some of the pain of that game. But then that brought us to this weekend, where Broxton is really his only opportunity to close a game throughout the series, basically because the Dodgers are getting their butts kicked throughout most of the series. The Dodgers had a chance to salvage 1 of 4 games at St. Louis. They bring in Broxton. All right? They bring him in basically with a two-run lead. And he just never really convinced me. He gave up a run. Of course. That's what he does. Ninth inning, clockwork. Just blows everything. He just blows. He blows throughout the ninth inning and against really just terrible hitters. Randy Wynn gets a hit off of you. Some guy in the minors just came up, gets a hit off of you. I mean, it's the dregs of hitting. Getting these hits. I mean, now you've got no excuses. I mean, you could have even said, well, the Yankees had all these great hitters. All right, you got that. Philly is one of the most menacing lineups in the playoffs. You got that. You got no excuse here. You really got no excuse. And for anyone to just shrug it off and go, well, you know, it's a long season. No. No more excuses. I think we're done. It's been 3 years of this, and I'm sure the Dodgers are fed up with it. I mean, imagine you're Vicente Padilla. You pitch this great game through seven innings, and these guys, these hacks, just can't pull it off for you. You'd be mad. I'd be mad, too. I wouldn't blame him. And so, it's frustrating. I imagine it is. And Broxton is just not the guy to really... that he's just not cut out for this position. You either got to demote him to eighth inning guy again, or just trade him. Trade him for prospects. Trade him for better pitchers. Trade him for a starter. Because closing position is a little overrated anyway. I mean, Ryan Franklin's a closer. Bob Wickman is a closer. Any number of guys can be a closer. You bring up John Roush, he's a closer. He's not anything super special. He's good, not great. Heath Bell, good closer, although he's not really that much, but he gets the job done. So closers are a little overrated. It's really not that big a deal. I mean, the last team to win a game with a great closer, Yankees, okay, they had Mariano Rivera. Brad Lidge, he's fantastic. No question about that either. But it's not an end-all be-all. It is not. Can you remember who the Cardinals had when they won the World Series in 2006? Yeah, see, that's my point. What about the White Sox? That's my point, too. I think they had Jenks in 2005, and Jenks is pretty good, too. But my point is, you don't have to really look that hard to get a guy that at least fills the position. And quite honestly, I just don't think Broxton has a mental mindset for it. You got to have a mental mindset. You got to be able to get the job done. You can't let the pressure get to you. And you got to have more than one pitch that you can use effectively all the time. And you got to do a much better job against left-handed hitters. Broxton really sucks against lefties. And I think that's a big reason why he struggled in all those big blown saves. That's the one thing they've all had in common. When it's happened, it's been because he's faced an inordinate amount of left-handed hitters. And he just can't put any of them away. It's amazing. So, that's your deal with Jonathan Broxton. Now, it sounds like I'm not really that upset over it. Well, I'm used to it by now. He's so bad. But they gotta do something. He's just not suited to be a closer anymore. End of story. So, what we have now is a situation in baseball where you have a lot of teams that have suddenly taken charges and made themselves interesting in a situation where 2 weeks ago you may not have said so. But having said that, one such team is the San Francisco Giants, who took 3 out of 4 this weekend at home against the Mets to put themselves in a really good position going forward. Now they go to LA to face the Dodgers. And if they can do for once the one thing they haven't been able to do all season, beat a divisional opponent in a series, they will really, really be knocking on the door. The Giants' pitching has been great. Their hitting has not been, but the pitching overcomes it. And, you know, when they won that game 1-0, it spoke of good things for the Giants. And what's interesting is Dan and I, in our previous podcast, I think it was actually 2 podcasts ago, so that takes us back about a month. We both surmised that the Giants would probably pull this thing off. It didn't look good for a while. No, it didn't. But the pitching wins in baseball. Just like defense wins championships, pitching wins in baseball. And they have the best pitching of anybody in that division. And so that's why we think they're going to make a run. If they get even mediocre hitting, if they can get Buster Posey to continue to hit as well as he has been, if they can get Sandoval to come around after his slow start, if they can get Aubrey Huff to keep doing what he's doing, if they can get Juan Uribe to keep doing what he's doing, all of a sudden you go from a terrible lineup to an okay to decent lineup. And that's good enough to win the division here in the NL West. They just got to play their own divisional opponents better. It's as simple as that. They've been beating up on the NL East. They've been beating up on the NL Central. They've been doing just fine. Even the interleague games, they've been doing okay. Not great, but okay. It's bizarre with the Giants. But if they ever get it together within their division, boy, that is a tough team. That is a really tough team. And the Rockies are the other tough team. And also, the Rockies are battling their own injuries. Tulowitzki is still out. But they are the team that you really want to keep an eye on in that division. That's the series. That's the situation with the NL West. Now, those two teams are the ones I think that are going to really challenge the Padres. But the thing about the Pods is that they continue to win series. And not surprising, obviously, this weekend, because they face the Diamondbacks and they're terrible. I mean, they are a dump. They're so bad. But that's just one situation. All right, so that's what's going on in that division. AL East is starting to get a little interesting, although I do think we are all agreeing on the same point about the Red Sox. They are starting to fall apart. Injuries are a reason. Disappointing hitters is a reason. But I think more importantly, their pitching is the biggest problem. Their pitching is just not where it is. Too many people are hurt. Too many people are not getting it together. Their bullpen's a mess. The pitching is the biggest problem with the Red Sox, and I think that's why they are where they are. Yankees, I think, are the class of the division right now, but the Rays are coming close behind. The Rays have not completely fallen off the map, so that's going to be a good division race down the stretch. AL Central, you know, a really disappointing weekend for the Tigers. Losing a series to the Indians in a situation where basically you're talking about one of the worst teams in baseball. You lose that series. Not a good sign for the Tigers. Big setback. But I just still think they're going to hang around and figure out a way to win this division. Speaking of setbacks, you had the White Sox losing in a come-from-behind win for the Minnesota Twins. So the Twins beat the White Sox at home at Minneapolis. And in so doing, they take the series, which is a big, 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 big series win for the Minnesota Twins, as they basically are behind the White Sox. They needed that series win. They got it. And just goes to show, in my opinion, that the White Sox are just hot. They're not a good team. I just don't think their hitters are really that great all across the board. A lot of disappointing seasons by a lot of people. I don't think their pitching is as great as everyone else thinks it is. It's not that good of a team. It just isn't that good of a team. I know they got really hot. They went on some big winning streak, and they're at the top of the division today. But I don't think that lasts. I really don't. And the Twins really showed that, hey, and it wasn't easy, but the Twins showed that, hey, we're going to be right behind you, man. And if you're going to get hot, you're going to basically have to be pretty good the rest of the season. And I don't think they will be. I think the White Sox will fall off and they'll be out of this thing. That is the bottom line there. With the Tigers losing the series, that's really a big setback for Detroit. I don't know how they'll come back from this, but they will, because I think they've got a good balanced team. Their lineup is really good. So that's that. AL West. Texas had a huge, huge series win at Fenway. Great series win. Lee was good, although he didn't quite win the game. Although, you know, he took a tie game. He took a game. He basically blew the lead in the ninth inning. But he basically pitched all nine innings. And the Rangers turned that around. And they extended the game into extra innings. But I do believe the Red Sox won that game on Saturday. The other three games, the Rangers won them all, including a game on Thursday where Benji Molina went hit for the cycle. And that's insane! That is insane! Unequivocally so. My goodness. So, all in total, I should say. I should check myself about as far as the Benji Molina. I think that game may have been on Friday. But either way, that was quite a series win for the Texas Rangers against the Red Sox, even though the Red Sox have fallen on hard times. And it really shows that maybe they are the team to beat in that division. But we'll see. it's crazy because they do have a little pitching now to match that offense they've always had, and that's what makes it really fascinating in the American League. Back now to the National League. Well, here's what you got there. You got the Mets, Phillies, and Braves all kind of in a tizzy. But really, the Braves are starting to fade. It's really starting to pull away. They had a big series win against, not big only in the sense that they won a lot of these games by significant margins, but they beat the Milwaukee Brewers in the series this week, and they really look like they're in good shape. The Mets had a major setback when they lost 3 out of 4 to the Giants, and even that game they won, which was today, very questionable win, because Ishikawa had a base hit, and I think he was about to score, and the slide was close, but it looked like he was safe. However, Phil Cuzzi, the home plate umpire, signaled he was out, and that took away the winning run for the Giants, and thus, after a few other at-bats, the game went into extra innings, and the Mets pulled it out in the extra innings. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So there it was. The Mets were really, you know, with a chance to really at least gain some traction or hold water. They did neither, and they really struggled in that one. So now you wonder what the heck's going to go on. It's a long season, so we have no idea. I think the Mets will hang around. The Giants really do play outside of division opponents really well, so I don't even think the Mets really have that much to be worried about, to be honest with you. And I think that the Mets will rebound from this with a couple of good home series. And by the way, they play well at Citi Field anyway, so it shouldn't be a problem. The Mets will be fine. They'll be in this thing a little bit longer. And I think the Braves, you know, they're due for a big skid. I think that will happen, but somehow the Braves may end up pulling this out in the end. It just might happen. Well, that's really it as far as what's been happening in sports. The Open Championship over there in Scotland was this weekend. Not much to see. Tiger Woods is terrible. And, you know, other guys were in the mix as well. Phil Mickelson was okay, but he wasn't really that great. The guy, obviously, the man of the hour, is Louis Oosthuizen. And I obviously am not going to pronounce that correctly, but he's from South Africa. So while South Africa couldn't get its prize in the World Cup, South Africa did still get a victory, and it was in golf. It's a great win for Oosthuizen. It was a huge margin of victory, though. He won by 7 strokes. 7 strokes. It was never really that close in the last 2 rounds. So ultimately, a very boring tournament, and a guy that's probably never going to do that kind of thing again. So all in all, good for him, but just wasn't really much to talk about in the Open Championship, otherwise known as the British Open here in the States. So that's the end of that. Sports is done for the week, and we move on to a new week here in July. Great to have you here. Thanks for listening, everybody. And tomorrow, we hope to have a special guest with us here from DMikeFrancesa.com. His name is The Captain 2. I'm sure we'll reveal his actual name tomorrow if we get a chance to meet with him. So we'll talk then. Until then, have a great Monday. We'll talk to you real soon, but until then, we'll see you next time.